We're continuing the series of sermons I started a few weeks ago. This is the third sermon. And during this month of September, you know, our theme is community outreach and evangelism. So today I'm finishing the third part based on the passage in Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to open your Bibles there. And I talked about two things, and today I'm going to talk about the third thing in this passage, Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Let me remind you, in the first sermon, we looked at the rock. When Jesus said that on this rock, I'll build my church, and you remember we established that this rock is the identity of Jesus Christ as the divine Son of God. That's what the church is going to be built on Jesus Christ as the divine Son of God. Then two weeks ago, I talked about the keys, because Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about that our witnessing can be those keys that open the doors of kingdom of heaven to other people. And today, I'll be talking about the third thing here, which is the silence. In the first sermon, we answered the question, how to build a church. In the second sermon, we answered the question, how to grow the church. And in this sermon, we'll answer the question, how to kill a church. As Jesus was finishing his discussion on his identity in Matthew chapter 16 with his disciples, he makes this interesting remark. Matthew 16, verse 20. And he says there, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell what? No one that he was Jesus the Christ. Doesn't it seem to you a little bit weird to hear that? Jesus is telling the disciples, I will build my church. He's telling them the identity that he's the divine Son of God. And he says, I'll give you the keys to open to the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, shh, be silent. Don't tell anyone about this. I entitled my sermon today, Is Silence an Option? And I want to answer that question while we're going through the sermon today. This is the only statement, let me just be clear from the beginning right away. This is the only statement of Jesus in the Bible that I don't want you to take seriously. This is the only statement in the Bible that Jesus made that I don't want you to take literally. Are we clear from the beginning what I'm expecting from you? This is the only statement that I don't want you to take literally. If we as a church take this statement literally and we keep silent, we will kill the church. So how do we kill the church? By being silent. And silence is not an option for us today. Now, as we look at this passage, before we go into the other things, I want to really look at this passage and try to understand why did Jesus ask the disciples to be quiet about his identity as Son of God? Because right a few chapters later, in Matthew 28, he tells them what? Go and preach this gospel to all the nations. This happened a few weeks right after this discussion. So why does Jesus tell the disciples here not to tell anyone? There are some passages in the Bible. There are some times in the Bible that Jesus asked some people to be quiet about his identity. And this happened early on in his ministry and towards sometimes the end of his ministry. And I want us to look at this. Why did he tell them to do that? These passages in the Bible, they look almost like anti-evangelistic, don't they? When Jesus says, don't tell anybody about who I am, but then he tells everybody, go and preach the gospel to everyone. And it seems to me that these passages are anti-evangelistic. But there is a purpose for those passages in the Bible. And Jesus had a reason why he asked the disciples and other people to be quiet about his identity. There are three types of passages in the Bible and three types of people that he told them to be quiet about his identity. And these types of passages are called in the Bible the messianic secret passages. that Jesus wanted to keep his messianic identity secret. When I was at Andrews, I wrote a paper on messianic secret in the book of Mark. The book of Mark, if you want to study that, is very interesting. It has a lot of these passages where Jesus tries to conceal his identity as the Messiah. But why did Jesus tell them that? Throughout the Gospels, Jesus seemed to be very careful to keep his identity as divine Son of God, as Messiah, from spreading around. There are three separate cases to consider. Number one, Jesus wouldn't let the demons say who he was. Remember that? He sometimes told the demons, be quiet. Don't tell anyone who I am. Second, he tells the people that were healed by Jesus to be quiet about that. There is a few passages in the Bible where Jesus heals someone and then he says, don't tell anyone about that. And thirdly, here in Matthew 16, Jesus tells the disciples to be quiet about his identity. So let's look at these three different cases and see why would Jesus tell them to be quiet. Now, some people think that this is reverse psychology. You know how that works. When you tell someone this is a secret, but don't tell anyone, and then they go tell everybody. All right, that happens to kids and to adults as well, you know. But I don't think that Jesus wanted to play a psychological trick on the disciples. Do you think that? I don't think so. This is not reverse psychology. That would be a very simple way to explain this. So let's look at the demons. Why did Jesus tell the demons to be quiet about his identity? Well, the demons would present two problems. Not only were they telling people who Jesus was before he wanted them to know who he was, they were doing it in a way that wasn't going to help Jesus. Demons were a hardly reputable source of information. And Jesus would not want people to base their faith in him on what demons just said to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now imagine this. You come and tell someone, wow, I heard someone told me that Jesus is the Messiah, and I accept that, I believe. And then the person asks you, who told you? And you say, a demon told me. How would you react to that? You know, you understand what I'm saying. So Jesus told the demons to be quiet because the demons, they weren't a reputable source of information. Jesus didn't want the people to learn about his identity from the demons. That's why Jesus told the demons to be quiet. Let's look at number two. Many times in the Bible, Jesus told those people he healed not to go and tell anyone about that. And they still didn't listen to Jesus sometimes. What happened when people heard about Jesus healing others? What happened to that? Many others start crowding Jesus. When they start crowding Jesus, that was impending his main purpose, what he came for, because people were start following Jesus for the wrong reasons. And Jesus didn't want people to follow him just because they got fed or because they were healed. So crowding Jesus would keep him from preaching the gospel, which was the main point of his ministry here on earth. So that's why many times Jesus tells these people that he healed, do not tell anyone. I don't want this to become the main reason why people follow me. I want them to learn first who I am from me and then make the decision based on what they know about me, not based on what I've done for them. Many of us today do the same. We like the benefits we receive from following Jesus, don't we? But we don't really want to get to know the person first. He wanted people to follow him for the right reasons. That's why he told many people he healed not to tell anyone. Now we come to the third point here, to the third case in Matthew 16. Why did Jesus tell the disciples to be silent? In a moment when Peter acknowledges Jesus as the divine Son of God, and Jesus says, exactly, you got the point, you know who I am, and then he says, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. I think the disciples probably might have felt a little bit anxious about that. How come we can't go and tell anyone about that? The point behind this is the following. You remember the contemporary Jews and even the disciples, they had a misconception about who the Messiah was going to be. You remember that? The Jews, including the disciples, were waiting a Messiah to come to be what? A warrior king that would free them from their Roman oppression. So, what would happen if somebody comes, if the disciples go and tell people Jesus is the Messiah, but his way is completely different than a warrior king coming to free them from the Roman oppression? They would be a little bit disappointed, wouldn't they? They'd be a little bit disappointed that that's not the true Messiah they're waiting for. Even though Jesus is identified early in the Gospels, he didn't want anybody to know his identity for quite a while. If Jesus told everyone he was the Messiah, people would assume he was something he wasn't, because they were waiting for a warrior king. And he'd had to get past their misconceptions first before he could start teaching them anything else. So Jesus wanted to prevent this title confusion, so he wanted them to see his nature before they learned his title. That's why he told the disciples, don't tell people yet, they're not ready to know who I am. Because they're waiting for someone else, they're waiting for a different type of the Messiah. And they will be confused when they hear that I am the Messiah. So wait, there is an appropriate time for everything. Solomon says there is time for everything under the sun. This is a very good evangelistic tool for us. You know why? Because sometimes we see people and we unload the whole 28 fundamental beliefs right away on them. There is a time for those beliefs. Even Jesus said, these people are not ready to accept me yet as this type of Messiah. They have a misconception. Do we preach to people that have misconceptions about the Bible? We do. Especially other Christians. So to those people, we have to approach them in this type of way. We have to be very careful the way we approach them. We have to present them things that they're only ready to hear in the beginning and take it very, very slowly. So that is why Jesus tells them here to be silent and not to tell anyone about his identity. Now, this is all good, but even though some people in the Bible were asked to be quiet about Christ's identity, that command does not apply to us. That command does not apply to us. The Bible is very clear that we are not supposed to be silent. The Bible is very clear. Now, I already mentioned Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. It says, go into the whole world and make disciples. And how do you make disciples? By teaching them, right? Does teaching mean that you're silent? No, you're not silent when you teach someone. You have to talk to them about your faith. You have to talk to them about your beliefs. Then in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus says, and you go and be witnesses to me everywhere. A witness is the one that witnesses with his life, but also with his teachings, with what he says. So in the Bible, for the disciples, Jesus asked them to be silent, but for us, we are not supposed to be silent. Unfortunately, too many Christians today take the statement of Jesus literally and keep silent about who Jesus is. Let me tell you an illustration. I'm going to use an illustration with it happened a few weeks with my son, Dominic. I grew up in a pastor's family, and my father used us in illustrations pretty much every Sabbath, and I hated that, all right? And I promised my family I'm not going to do that very often, but today I will, and because it really, really illustrates a point. I was driving Dominic to VBS three or four weeks ago, and we always have conversation. Dominic has a lot of questions, like kids at his age, all right? And I like his questions, always like theological questions pretty much all the time. So he asked me a question, we were talking, and then I was quiet for a while, and then he suddenly says this, I wish Jesus would come soon. Out of the blue. And I said to him, yes, I wish that too, but Jesus will come only when everyone would hear about him. That every person on this world has to hear about Jesus before he comes. And then he looked, he kind of stopped for a second and he says, all the people? He, you know, asked me. I said, yes, all the people. Then Dominic says, well, that's going to take a while, he says. I said, yes, but if everyone would just, everyone who knows about Jesus would tell someone about Jesus, it will make it faster. And then those people that find out about Jesus tell someone else, we would hasten Christ's coming. He'll come much faster. And then Dominic took a second and he was quiet for a while and he just said, oh, okay. That, you know, I heard in his voice, the tone of Dominic's voice when he said this was as though he wasn't really enthusiastic about this idea. It seems to me that we have the same reaction from our church members today when they hear about the necessity to tell others about Jesus. We all want Jesus to come soon, amen? We all want Jesus to come soon. And we'll say, well, we wish Jesus would come soon. But then when you tell them, well, you, if you want to contribute and hasten his coming, that's what you can do. Just tell someone about him. Then we have the same reaction. Oh, okay. And that's all we get. In the book of Romans, we have an amazing passage that talks about the spreading of the gospel. I want you to open with me Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And you know this passage very, very well. Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. And it says there, how then shall they call on him, on Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So can people hear us if we remain silent? They can't hear us. They can't hear the gospel. They can't hear about Jesus if we remain silent. In Luke 19, verse 40, Jesus says these words, a stern warning is given to us, and it says, if you remain silent, who is going to talk? The stones are going to talk. So let me ask you, is silence an option for us? I didn't hear that. Is silence an option for us? Silence is not an option for us. Unfortunately, too many Christians choose to be silent about that. I read about a court case that was lost because of silence of an attorney. In 1800s, a distinguished lawyer, Samuel Hoare, he represented a defendant, and the evidence was so clear in favor of his client that when the judge called for him to present his case, he declined and he said that the facts favoring my client are so evident, I wouldn't even insult the intelligence of the jury to argue this case. So the jury retired to deliberate and return in a few minutes with a verdict of guilty. And the lawyer, the attorney, was astonished, said, how come? The evidence was so clear. And the foreman replied, he said, we all agreed that if anything could be said for a case, you would say it. But since you didn't present any evidence, we decided to rule against you. Silence has lost the case. How often the opportunity to speak a word of testimony for Christ is lost because we remain silent. Those who need to hear the gospel may conclude that salvation is not really important to us. They may conclude that we don't really have a case for Christ. And they might say, if they don't have a case, why should I even bother with that? Do we have a case? We do have a case. How many of you read the book, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel? A few of you. It's an amazing book. It's an amazing book. I wish all of you would read that. Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. He was an atheist, and his wife was a Christian, and he decided to prove that Jesus never existed in history. So what he wanted to prove it to his wife first, okay? So what he did, he went and interviewed a lot of scientists, doctors, historians. You know, he interviewed them about Jesus Christ. And you know what happened at the end? He became a Christian. Lee Strobel became a Christian at the end because the evidence for Messiah, for Christ, was so strong, he could not resist that evidence. How many times we remain silent and do not present the case for Christ, and many people think it's not important to us, why should it be important to them? I invite you not to be silent. Don't be silent about the identity of Jesus Christ. In the remaining few minutes, I want to look at a story in Acts chapter 4 about the disciples and to answer the question, why couldn't the disciples be silent? Acts chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1 and 2, and we'll continue through the story. It's an amazing story of the disciples here. We'll start in verse 1, and it says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." So what is happening here? We have John and Peter preaching to the people, and they caused a huge disturbance there. The Bible says it was a huge disturbance in verse 2. Now let me stop right there. When was the last time you caused a great disturbance by preaching the gospel? When was the last time you caused a great disturbance by preaching the gospel? It will happen. When you preach the truth, it will happen. But we are not willing to do that. We don't want to offend anyone. The gospel sometimes will offend some people because it requires a transformation of their lifestyle, and they're not willing to do that. And people are not going to like it, but as the Holy Spirit works on their heart, they will start liking it and understanding it. So don't be afraid sometimes to cause disturbance. I know we live in a society that we have to be politically correct. And this was a tough one for me to learn when I came from Moldova, believe me. It was a very tough one, and I speak to a lot of immigrants that came here, this political correctness. I'm not saying it's wrong, but we get sometimes too far on the other side where you can't speak anything from the Bible. And this is a little bit too far for me. When we preach the gospel, we must present the truth, and sometimes the truth will hurt. And some people will be disturbed. But we must present the truth. And the disciples weren't afraid to do that under the threat of death. Let's continue on in the story here. It's a very interesting story. I want us to skip to verse 17 and 18. So what happens here in the first few verses, the people, you know, they were causing disturbance. After they were arrested, they were brought before Sanhedrin. And after listening to them, the Sanhedrin realized they couldn't do much about it, so decided to scare them, Peter and John. Verse 17 and 18, and it says there, "But so that it spreads no further among the people," meaning the preaching of the gospel, "let us severely threaten them," said the Sanhedrin, "that from now on they speak to no man in this name," meaning in the name of Jesus. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus Christ. So what is the Sanhedrin doing? They say, we want you to be silent. We want you to keep silence about this. Don't preach to anyone. I love Peter's response, verses 19 and 20. And this should be our response. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So what is Peter and John saying to them? You can threaten us as much as possible. And you can decide whether it's better to listen to you or to God. But we cannot keep silent. We can't. We heard these things. We've experienced these things. We have to share them with everyone. I wish we would have the same response and the same desire to preach the gospel to others. Amen. I wish that we will say like Peter and John, we can't keep quiet. A person that has something to say will say it. Only a person that doesn't have what to say, only a person that doesn't have an experience, hasn't experienced that person will be always quiet. And those are the ones that are always afraid to open their mouth. Oh, we don't know what to say. Well, you have a lot of other things to say about your experiences, daily experiences. If you talk to someone on the phone, they can go for 2 hours telling how their day went. But if you ask them to say 2 minutes about their experience with Christ, they don't have what to say. I know I might be stepping on some toes today, and you can crucify me for that afterwards. But I can't keep silent. It's in the Word of God. Only those people that don't have what to share are not going to share what they have experienced. This story is ending in Acts 4:31, an amazing verse here. It says, and when they had prayed, they're coming out here, and it's a prayer for boldness. They're praying here with everyone. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? With boldness. This is how we can't keep silent. When we all pray in unity together, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will go out and speak. We cannot keep silent. With boldness. We need that holy boldness from the Holy Spirit. But when is that going to happen? Only when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Only when we go through this preparation time and ask the Holy Spirit to come and pray about it. If we keep silent, if we are afraid to go out and talk to the people, it's because we have not gone through that experience of receiving the Holy Spirit as a church. It's very clear. Those people that have gone through the experience of receiving the Holy Spirit, they will go out and preach with boldness. And that's what we need as a church, the holy boldness. Let me conclude. A wise man by the name Solomon once wrote about this in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7. He says, there is a time to be silent and there is a time to speak. Never before in the history of Christianity, in my personal opinion, has the opportunity to speak in Jesus' name in light of the present circumstances been greater than it is now. Never in the history of Christianity. So, are we going to remain silent? Or are we going to speak? Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I found this verse, and it's an amazing verse. I want you to remember this. The experience that Jeremiah went through, it's amazing, and I wish this would be our experience. He says in verse 9 of chapter 20, but if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot, says Jeremiah. He says, this word about God is in me like fire, and I can't hold it in. It has to come out. So if you have that experience, if you have the word of God in you, you're not going to be able to keep silent. It will come out because it's like a fire. I wish that the word of God would be like a fire within us that would burn and that we would not be able to keep it in. There are times in our lives that silence is the best option. In our case here, silence is not an option. May God bless you. Amen.